Most people think a motorcycle crash is just the result of a reckless rider,
Right, yeah.
like weaving through highway traffic at 90 miles an hour. We have this culturally ingrained stereotype of the daredevil taking these massive
Oh,
risks.
absolutely. The whole Hollywood image.
Exactly. But the data and really the devastating reality on our roads tells a terrifyingly different story. Today, we're looking at the aftermath of a recent tragedy out in Melville, Long Island.
Yeah, that was just awful.
A 38-year-old motorcyclist was killed after being thrown from his Ducati. It was a fiery, just catastrophic crash. It is a heartbreaking scenario, and the investigation into, exactly what went wrong is still ongoing.
It's deeply sobering. And when you read the details of that specific crash, the sheer physical forces involved, the ensuing post-collision fire, it immediately strips away any of that romanticized view of riding you mentioned.
It really
That
does.
leaves you with the raw physics, honestly. Just what happens when a human body traveling at highway speeds is suddenly subjected to the blunt force of a collision? There is virtually no margin for error, like none.
Okay, let's unpack this. For today's deep dive, we are pulling from comprehensive materials provided by the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Yes, very detailed sources today.
We're going to look closely at the unique everyday vulnerabilities that you, the everyday motorcyclist, face on New York roads. We'll look at the actual physics and psychology behind these devastating crashes.
The psychology part is especially wild.
It is. And perhaps most crucially, we'll talk about the intense race against the clock to secure specialized legal intervention when families are suddenly thrust into this nightmare and, well, need justice.
And I think it is vital to contextualize this geographically, too.
For sure.
Because while that specific horrific tragedy with the Ducati happened out in Melville on Long Island, it is absolutely not an isolated anomaly.
Not at all.
It serves as a very loud, very tragic alarm bell for a daily reality that plays out across Westchester County and New York City. The underlying mechanics of that crash on Long Island are, identical to the crashes happening in our own backyards every single day.
Which brings us to the actual infrastructure we navigate daily. I
Right.
mean, the source material points out specific hazard zones, and if you live in the area, you know exactly how unforgiving these arteries can be.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, if you are navigating the tight, twisting, often really outdated curves of the Sawmill River Parkway.
Ugh, the sawmill is notorious.
Right, or dealing with the chaotic high-speed merging on Interstate 287 or the Major Deegan Expressway.
Or the Hutchinson River Parkway.
Exactly, the Hutch, the Bronx River Parkway, Cross County Parkway. The baseline danger is already high. You have this overwhelming density of vehicles, sudden stops, incredibly short on-ramps.
Yeah, the short ramps are a nightmare, even in a car.
Right.
And then you have local streets across White Plains, Yonkers, the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, and Manhattan.
Right.
It's just constant congestion.
Yeah.
And when you introduce a motorcycle into that specific, highly congested environment, the risk multipliers just go off the charts.
Yeah, they really do.
The infrastructure itself demands total situational awareness from every driver, which is, unfortunately, exactly where human psychology tends to fail.
I always think about it in terms of physics, honestly. Like, when I am driving my SUV down the hutch, I am essentially sitting inside a 2-ton armored steel box.
Exactly. You're protected.
Right. I have crumple zones designed to extend the duration of a crash by a few crucial milliseconds, which drastically reduces the kinetic force applied to my internal
A
organs.
literal steel cage.
Yeah, if someone merges into my lane without looking, it might total my car and, ruin my day, but I am largely protected. Contrasting that with a motorcyclist, there is complete and total exposure.
Complete exposure.
There is no steel cage. The human body becomes the crumple zone. It absorbs 100% of that kinetic energy instantly.
That is a highly accurate way to frame it,
Right.
which is why the causes of these accidents, as outlined in our research, are so frustratingly routine.
Yeah.
We aren't just talking about extreme freak occurrences here. The sources highlight unsafe lane changes, left-turn collisions at intersections, speeding, following too closely, impaired driving, and a general failure to yield the right of way.
Oh, and distracted driving, right.
Oh, definitely distracted
Yeah.
driving, and poor roadway conditions, too.
And this is where I want to get back to that daredevil stereotype we started with. Are these accidents usually the rider taking a massive risk? Or is it primarily a case of the invisible rider where other drivers just completely fail to recognize their presence?
What's fascinating here is that The data leans heavily toward the invisible rider phenomenon.
Really?
Yeah, and it's deeply rooted in human cognitive processing. It's something psychologists call inattentional blindness.
Inattentional blindness.
Right. A driver's brain is heavily taxed on a congested road like the Major Deegan. To save processing power, the brain filters out things it doesn't consider a primary expected threat.
Interesting.
Human vision on a highway is basically trained to look for large horizontal rectangles, you know, cars and trucks.
So you're saying the driver looks, but the brain literally doesn't register what the eyes are seeing.
Precisely. It's wild. But a driver glances in their side mirror, their brain quickly scans for a horizontal rectangle, doesn't see one, and they initiate a lane change.
Wow.
When a narrow vertical silhouette, like a motorcycle, enters the visual field, the brain can literally delete it from consciousness.
Wait, delete it?
Yes. They simply do not register the motorcycle right there in their blind spot. The driver swerves, genuinely believing the lane was entirely empty.
That is terrifying.
It really is.
It means that even when a motorcyclist is riding completely responsibly, following every single traffic law, one careless snap decision by a driver in a steel box, like a quick left turn at an intersection because they were glancing at a text message, that can have life-altering consequences for the rider.
Yep.
The margin of safety is entirely dependent on the cognitive awareness of the people around them.
And when that cognitive awareness fails, the physical consequences are catastrophic. Because the rider lacks that steel cage, the sheer G-forces involved lead to horrific trauma.
Right, because of the exposure.
Exactly. So we're looking at the brain impacting the inside of the skull, leading to severe traumatic brain injuries. We're talking about spinal cord severances, massive internal organ damage, multiple fractures, severe road rash.
God, yeah.
And as the Melville tragedy so painfully illustrated, the catastrophic risk of post-collision fires. These lead to permanent disability or wrongful death.
The ripple effect of those injuries is just unfathomable. A family is suddenly looking at extensive surgeries, years of specialized rehabilitation, and a desperate need for long-term financial support.
It derails everything.
Medical expenses and the sudden loss of an income can completely obliterate a family's financial stability in a matter of weeks, honestly.
Which means there is this intense, immediate pressure on the family. The text outlines that surviving family members have legal rights to pursue maximum financial compensation, especially if the crash was caused by another party's negligence.
Like that distracted left turn driven by the inattentional blindness we talked about.
Exactly. But to prove that negligence in the legal setting, they need concrete evidence.
No, I have to push back here because this is where I think a lot of people, myself included, get confused.
Yeah.
If a crash is that severe, the police are obviously going to be there. They block off the road, they do an investigation, they write a report. Why isn't a standard police report enough? How fast does this critical evidence, traffic cam footage, or witness memories actually disappear? Why is there such a panic to gather evidence privately?
This raises an important question, and it highlights a fundamental misunderstanding many people have about the aftermath of a crash.
Yeah.
A police report is a vital starting point. Absolutely. You need it. But law enforcement's primary goal at a crash scene is to clear the roadway, secure public safety, and determine if a blatant prosecutable criminal act occurred.
Like a hit and run or something.
Exactly. Hit and run or extreme intoxication. They are not there to meticulously build a multi-million-dollar civil case for your family's financial compensation.
Ah, so they are looking for a crime, not necessarily preparing the groundwork for a lawsuit against an insurance company.
Exactly. And the window to gather that specific civil evidence closes incredibly fast. Let's take traffic camera footage, for example.
Yeah, that seems crucial.
It is. But in many municipalities across Westchester and New York City, those digital systems are programmed to overwrite themselves every 24 to 72 hours to save server space.
Wait, 24 to 72 hours?
Different.
So by the time a family has even finished notifying their relatives about a death, or while they're literally sitting in a hospital waiting room, the actual video proof of who caused the crash might already be permanently wiped from the city's servers. That is insane.
It is a grim reality. If you do not have a legal team aggressively subpoenaing that footage immediately, it is gone forever.
Wow.
Or consider the physical scene itself. Accident reconstruction relies heavily on things like yaw marks.
Yaw marks? What are those?
They're the specific tire friction marks left when a vehicle forcefully steers and slides laterally. Those aren't just black streaks on the pavement.
Oh, really?
No, they have microscopic striations that allow a physicist to calculate the exact speed and angle of impact. but a single heavy rainstorm can wash those striations right away.
That's incredible. And what about cell phone records? If we know distracted driving is a massive cause, how do you actually prove the driver was looking at their phone?
That is one of the highest hurdles. You can't just ask the driver. I mean, they will deny it.
Of course.
You have to subpoena the telecommunications company, Verizon, AT&T, whoever.
Yeah.
That requires filing a lawsuit, getting a judge's order, and formally serving the telecom giant before their rolling servers overwrite the ping data from the specific cell tower near the crash. It requires highly aggressive legal maneuvering within days of the accident.
So the family is essentially fighting a ghost. The physical proof of what happened to their loved one is literally washing off the asphalt or being deleted off a server while they're, you know, paralyzed by grief.
Yes. The trail goes cold incredibly quickly. That is why the source material vehemently stresses the necessity of prompt, specialized legal representation.
Right.
You need a team whose sole job is to step into that absolute chaos, freeze the scene, and preserve the evidence before it vanishes into thin air.
And looking at the materials, that requires a very specific kind of legal firepower, because you aren't just fighting the clock. Eventually, you are going to be facing down aggressive, heavily funded insurance companies.
Oh, absolutely.
Whose entire corporate business model is based on paying out as little as possible to victims. You need a heavyweight.
And the source material points directly to the law offices of Norman Gershon as that heavyweight.
Let's talk about him, because analyzing his practice gives us a clear look at what it actually takes to win these cases. He has over 35 years of experience exclusively representing injury victims.
That's a long time to build expertise.
It really is. And his footprint covers the exact geographic hazard zones we talked about earlier. White Plains, Westchester County, Yonkers, the Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens.
35 years operating in that specific New York metro area means he knows the local court systems intimately.
Right.
He knows the specific judges, the defense attorneys, and exactly how the local insurance adjusters operate. But what really stands out in the text is his reputation among his own peers.
Yeah, I saw that.
The materials specifically note that Norman Gershon is the attorney other lawyers call to try their toughest cases.
Let's look at that objectively for a second. If other lawyers are handing him the cases they cannot crack, that tells you everything you need to know about the operational reality of personal injury law.
It does.
These cases are incredibly expensive to build. You just mentioned hiring physicists for accident reconstruction, pulling telecom data, bringing in medical experts to project lifetime care costs. A small firm might not be able to afford that.
Which is exactly why the financial model of Gershon's firm is so crucial for victims. They operate on a strict contingency basis.
Meaning you only pay if you win.
Right, you only pay if you win. The firm fronts the tens of thousands of dollars required for the accident reconstruction, the subpoenas, the expert witnesses. They absorb the entirety of the financial risk.
Wow.
If they don't win, the family owes nothing.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. It is one thing to say a firm takes on the risk. It is another to look at the scoreboard and see the results.
True.
The sources provided a detailed list of multi-million dollar verdicts that Norman Gershon has secured, and the sheer scale of these victories is staggering.
Yeah, the numbers are huge.
For instance, the text details a massive $16.5 million verdict involving a passenger in a bus collision. Yeah, and a $5.445 million verdict for a serious motor vehicle accident. There's a $5.068 million verdict involving a complex sideswipe collision.
That's over $5 million just for a sideswipe.
Exactly. And it goes on $3.75 million for a motor vehicle accident with spinal injuries and $2.5 million for a Westchester County intersection collision.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, when you hear a number like a $5 million verdict for a sideswipe, you have to understand the intense level of resistance the defense put up.
Oh, no doubt.
Insurance companies do not hand over $5 million willingly. They fight tooth and nail.
Oh, absolutely. In a sideswipe case, I guarantee the defense lawyers tried to weaponize the invisible rider phenomenon against the victim.
Oh, 100%.
They probably argued the motorcyclist darted into the blind spot or that they were speeding.
Exactly. They attempt to shift the blame to the victim to minimize their financial liability. Securing those kinds of massive verdicts isn't just about possessing technical, aggressive courtroom skill.
Right.
It requires an exhaustive level of preparation. It means Norman Gershon's firm secured the yaw marks, pulled the cell tower data, and completely outprepared the insurance company's army of corporate lawyers to prove undeniable negligence.
But the sources also highlight a duality to his approach. Beyond the aggression in the courtroom, clients consistently praise him for his compassion behind closed doors.
Which is so important for the family.
It really is. They highlight his personal attention, his deep understanding of the emotional toll of a wrongful death or a severe spinal injury, and his ability to combine that empathy with a relentless dedication to achieving maximum compensation. He essentially acts as a shield for the grieving family and a sword against the insurance company.
It is a critical balance. When a family's life has been shattered, they need an advocate who understands the profound human loss, but who also has the battle-tested resources to force a massive insurance conglomerate to take accountability.
And if you are listening to this right now and you or someone you love has been severely injured in a motorcycle accident, a car accident, or a truck accident anywhere in Westchester County or the New York metropolitan area, you cannot afford to wait for the evidence to disappear.
No, the clock is ticking immediately.
You need to make the call before the traffic cameras reset and the skid marks wash away. The number to reach the law offices of Norman Gershon is 914-485-1444. Let me say that again. Grab a pen or lock it into your phone contacts right now. 914-485-1444.
It is entirely about protecting your legal rights the very moment the unthinkable happens.
Right.
Whether the case ends up in complex settlement negotiations or goes all the way to a high-stakes jury trial, you need that proven 35-year record of success in your corner fighting for you.
So what does this all mean for us today? We started this deep dive looking at the tragic reality of a deadly, fiery Ducati crash on Long Island, and we traced that exact same danger right to our local everyday roads.
Yeah, the daily risks are everywhere.
The tight curves of the sawmill, the chaotic merges of I-287, and the complex intersections of Westchester and NYC. We looked at the physics of kinetic energy and how the lack of a steel cage leaves riders incredibly vulnerable.
We also explored the psychology of inattentional blindness, how a driver's brain can literally filter out a motorcycle, leading to those devastating, careless mistakes.
Exactly. We unpacked the frantic 72-hour race against time to secure vanishing civil evidence, and we looked at the fierce, battle-tested advocacy provided by Norman Gershon and his history of securing multi-million-dollar victories against relentless insurance companies.
It is a comprehensive look at a very harsh, unforgiving reality on our roads, but it is also a vital look at the very real solutions and legal protections available to families when they are pushed to the brink and need it most.
Absolutely. And as a final reminder, if you ever find yourself or your family in this tragic situation, needing the heavyweight lawyer that other attorneys refer their toughest cases to, you know who to call. The number is 914-485-1444.
You know, before we wrap up today, there is one detail from synthesizing all these sources that keeps turning over in my mind.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we talked extensively about how these catastrophic crashes often happen because a driver's brain fails to visually recognize a rider's presence. The invisible rider.
Right, the inattentional blindness.
Yeah. Right now, a motorcyclist at least has the advantage of loud engine noise to audibly announce their presence in a blind spot.
Sure, you hear them before you see them.
Exactly. But as we rapidly transition toward a future filled with near-silent electric passenger vehicles, you have to wonder, will our highways become even more hazardous?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that.
If riders can no longer rely on the roar of nearby combustion engines to anticipate a sudden dangerous lane change from an oblivious driver, how will the fundamental dynamics of highway safety have to evolve to protect them from the silence?
That is a chilling thought.
Yeah, it really changes the landscape.
And definitely something to keep an eye on as the technology on our roads changes rapidly around us. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay intensely aware of your surroundings, and please stay safe out there on the roads.